continental divide, which you've probably seen on pictures many places in the state of Colorado, like the one on the bulletin this morning. A lot of you looked at that and thought, what on earth is that all about? Well, the Hoosier Pass has this sign that we've seen on many occasions, and you probably have too. It's a wonderful reminder of a great divide, because all the water from that point all the way from northern Canada to South America somewhere is this continental divide, and all the water to the east goes to the Atlantic, and to the west goes to the, isn't that the Pacific this way? I got my that's good. It all goes that way except for a few rivers that run into the desert and die. That's it. Otherwise, everything, it's an amazing division of almost everything in a way. All rain, all snow, everything that happens, it all eventually fades that way. Culturally, we are very much a divided world. Men have set themselves against men. Races are competing against other races. People on one social level hate those that are in other classes. Nations war against nations, and even though we were unable to find many weapons of mass destruction in one place, it's been reported that there are enough additional nuclear weapons stockpiled to wipe out every living thing on the face of the earth. It's not really a United Nations. It's really a divided nations. Spiritually, I want you to consider with me for a moment a much greater division than those caused by national, racial, and class distinctions. And it involves every man and woman and child in the entire world, and it has eternal implications and, of course, consequences. You are either a believer or an unbeliever, traveling on a narrow road that leads to eternal life, or a broad road that leads to destruction. Or, as we emphasized last Sunday morning, you are either on the way to heaven or you are on the way to hell. John 3:16 from the Phillips. Listen to this. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him should not perish but should have eternal life. God has not sent his Son into the world to pass sentence upon it, but to save it through him. Anyone who believes in him is not judged at all. It is the one who will not believe who stands condemned already, because he will not believe in the character of God's only Son. According to the Bible, our map, God's holy word, no one can ride the fence. No one can dodge the issue by delay or indecision. You either believe on the Lord Jesus Christ or you don't. And on the basis of that belief, your future is either bright or dismal. You can expect the promise of being in God's presence forever and ever and ever, or forever without his promise. I have his presence and his character, his love, his mercy. It's one or the other. And Christ himself is the great divider. I think an amazing picture of Jesus Christ as the great divider of all men is found in the account of the crucifixion given to us in the book of Luke. As you focus this morning on the cross with me and we remember the sacrifice of Jesus together, would you open up your Bible, if you brought it with this morning, to Luke chapter 23 and verse 32? Let's find that wonderful, amazing passage, really. All of them are speaking, all the gospel records speak of the same event, but they all have a different angle to it. And Dr. Luke gives us one that's just absolutely beautiful. In chapter 23, find verse 32. I'm going to pick it up right there. Two others also, who were criminals, were being led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. And Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them. Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And the people stood by looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him. And they were saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. Now there was an inscription above him. Picture it. This is the King of the Jews. Now this arrangement of three crosses, where did that come from? We don't really know. Why Jesus was placed in the center with these two other guys on the side, we don't really know who made that happen or why. Perhaps it was Pilate's idea to add insult to injury because Jesus was the friend of sinners. Put him up there with those guys. We don't know. Perhaps it was the Jewish officials that decided, or maybe even the centurion's decision to place Jesus in the center there. After all, he certainly was the most notorious of the criminals this day. Nevertheless, there was a certain divine purpose at work for Jesus as the great divider of all men. It gave my Lord the right to the very end of his life on earth an opportunity to still reach out to people with hope and love and compassion who desperately needed it. Make no mistake about it, though, he did so while continuing to endure extreme pain. When a man was hanging on a cross, suspended on iron spikes, he wanted one thing and one thing only: death. He thought of one person and one person only: himself. Death could not come fast enough. But Jesus? Jesus, unlike all other victims of crucifixion, was more concerned even at the very end about those next to him and before him and in the generations to come. Let's think about this guy on the right and the guy on the left. It appears to me that one got heaven and one got hell. We've been focused on heaven and hell all month of August. What does the Bible teach us and show us and say to us? I think there's an interesting picture of a great divide right there at the cross. Look at verse 39. And one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other answered and rebuking him said, Do you not even fear God, since you were under the same sentence of condemnation? We indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And speaking of these two men crucified with Jesus, Luke uses a common Greek term, criminal. Matthew calls them bandits. You and I, we might call them thugs. It has been speculated that they were perhaps members of an organized scheme to overthrow the Roman government. I say that because they perhaps had been partners with Barabbas, who was called an insurrectionist and murderer. Here's what Mark says. And the man named Barabbas had been imprisoned with the other insurrectionists who had committed murder. Like maybe this one and maybe that one. In any case, these two men were not first-time offenders. These are bad guys. These are criminals. These were thugs, and they were hurling abuse at Jesus. That word abuse means blasphemy. They were yelling harsh, I think maybe even obscene words at Jesus concerning one who is most sacred and who had braced his entire life on earth, a loving message. So if you're the great Messiah, the King of the Jews, then get us out of this mess. Are you the Christ? Then save yourself and us. And there was silence. Isaiah had said there would be silence. As a lamb before its shear is silent, so he never will open up his mouth. And he didn't. He didn't say anything back to them or them. There was silence. Then one guy speaks and one does not. "What's the matter with you?" one says. "Don't you even fear God since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? Don't you realize we're getting what we deserve? But this man is innocent?" I ask you this morning, what is it that suddenly brought about a change in this man's life? I can think of two reasons, perhaps, for a change of heart. First of all, perhaps he noticed the sign above Jesus' head that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Remember, it was not intended as a statement of truth from God. It became that. But it was intended as a mockery. In fact, the Jewish leader said, "Why don't you put, 'He says he is King of the Jews.'" Remember? But Pilate said, "I've written what I've written. It's over." So there it was. "This is the King of the Jews." And perhaps this one fellow sinner read that sign and began to believe it might be true. I believe a second factor that may have changed his heart was the silence of Jesus and the way he handled all this abuse in his silence and control. Jesus offered good news that he's the only one that has the power to really change a man's heart, to change a person's life. And this once very hardened criminal, up until a few minutes ago perhaps, saw in Christ more than just a man dying here, but the Son of God. And I suppose with a mix of desperation and certainly faith, he pleads at that moment, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." How did he know Jesus had a kingdom? The sign. This is the King of the Jews. A king must have a kingdom. He must have realized the truth that he was unable, even in those last moments, to change himself, and understood the Holy One could determine his eternal destiny. "Remember me when you come into your kingdom," he pleads. "Remember me." By the way, it leads me to a very practical point about our work of evangelism, which I know is going on all week long. We are. We're representing Jesus and talking about him. And in our evangelism, don't nitpick about the exact words people have to use to become a Christian. Ever find yourself, as I have over the years, wanting to use specific right words when leading somebody to know Christ? Do you believe that a person can say, "Remember me," and be saved? Apparently Jesus did. Because Jesus heard a lot more than those simple words. He was reading the heart. I think that is a great reminder to us this morning. Let God deal with the attitude of the heart when you're talking about your Lord. Let the Holy Spirit give the sinner the right words from his own spirit. to talk with God. Leave it between a sinner and God. Only He can read the attitude of the heart. God holds us responsible to share His good news. He does not hold us responsible for what they do after we've shared it. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. You and I don't save anybody anyway. God goes to work. God does that. The Holy Spirit does that. It convicts. Like He did this one man that moment on a cross. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, this is amazing, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Oh, I call that incredible. I call that grace. Look, if there was ever a deathbed conversion, this is it. There's no time to join the church. Get baptized. Take some classes. It happened in a moment. Dying. Hanging on a cross. On what basis, God? On the basis of faith. Faith alone in Christ alone. That's all God wants. That's all God requires. That's all we can offer. Please remember this as we remember Him this morning. No one is ever too far gone to become a Christian. Case in point. A really bad guy. I don't get it sometimes. A thug, a criminal. And all he says with his words is, remember me. And Jesus accepts him. I would guess at some time in our lives, we have written some people off thinking he'll never respond. I'm almost getting tired of praying for him. She'll never listen. She'll never turn around. Listen, use this illustration of this guy on a cross. Either on the left or on the right, I don't know. There he is, and his heart is changed. And he makes a choice, you and I can also make, all the time, in fact, every day. No one, not even this guy, is too far gone to find Jesus. His heart was changed. In essence, what was he saying? In essence, he was saying at that very moment, I know who I am. He said that. We're getting what we deserve. I know who I am, and I know who He is. Even as I'm dying, I'm recognizing His authority over my life. How did he recognize that? Well, he might have seen the sign, and he certainly saw Jesus' response and behavior, what our Lord said, and what He did not say on the cross. We might have been yelling all kinds of ugly things. My Lord did not. And this man recognized, this is God. He is the King of the Jews. Oh, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the Son of God turned his head and said, today, I'm talking a few minutes from now, you'll be with me in paradise. I know your heart. It's been changed. Every day, you and I also have a chance to represent the King, to act like Him and react like Him. Why should you and I this morning in this room, made up of, I would assume, mostly all Christians here, who have rejoiced in a couple, 3 weeks past when we talked about heaven and how wonderful it's going to be and how great and glorious, and we talk about that at every service, I think, we conduct around here about in memorials, you know. We focus on glory. We focus on heaven. Why should we who are destined for heaven think about hell? You and I this morning should care about hell because it's real. Because the great divider made that clear on the cross. We should care because those who we love and are outside of Jesus are heading for hell. It's certainly not my thought. That's the teaching of this book. That's what God has said so clearly in so many places. He who has the Son has life eternal, and he who does not have the Son does not have life eternal with him in heaven. It's as clear as that. You're either on this side or that side, and I should care about and pray for those on the wrong side. My heart should go out all the time. My prayers for those on the wrong side of Jesus. How does one, like the other guy, become so bitter, so sinful, so antagonistic, even in the last moments of his life on earth? His nature. He can't change that. Either can you and me. But God can change it. God did change the heart of the other guy. Now I know who I am, and I know who you are, Lord. Remember me. The great divider. One on the left, one on the right. One got heaven, and one got hell. Where do you stand with the great divider this morning? Where do those you love stand? You're on the right side, I mean the correct side. Praise God. You're on the wrong side. You can get your heart changed and be on the right side. Great divider made that clear right on the cross. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for making that clear, even on the cross. Oh, thanks, Father, for sending your Son to pay the penalty of all my sin. Oh, we thank you for the sacrifice that you willingly made through Jesus. And then he said, as he had met with his disciples, remember me. Right now, we remember you. Amen. Amen. Jeff, quiet prayer. Listen to us. Answer our prayers. Father, thanks for Jesus, your Son's story about two men. One who ended up in heaven and one who ended up in hell. And the story that you gave us about the torment and the pain and the suffering that one evidenced. Make that real in our lives. And let us celebrate through the rest of this day and truly the rest of this week, your presence in us. It makes all the difference in the world that we have you. Paige was right earlier. Disney is not God. God, you are God. You're real. I want to be with you forever. Amen.